Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
I spoke with a Christian leader a while back. We had been working through a situation that had taken us several months. He provided an interesting insight into spiritual struggles that we all face. He mentioned that people who constantly focus on rebuking the enemy have somehow permitted the enemy to possess a stronghold in their lives. It gave me pause. Whether that's accurate or not, I can't say. But I have noticed that those who struggle with selling out to the Lord Jesus Christ focus less on the master and more on the enemy. I couldn't get away from that thought. I looked back over my own life and realized that those times when I fought the enemy the hardest were generally those times when I was also struggling with my commitment to the Lord. Not always, for there are indeed struggles that only come to those who are completely sold out. But by and large, this is a general rule. I want to look at three passages of Scripture today and help you understand this. My name is Ken Gurley, and all this week on Daily Devotion, we're going to be talking about facing difficulties. Here's one verse, James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James says that the primary act of our worship is submitting to God. That should be our focus, our devotion. Our sacrifice to God comes first. That's our worship. Here's another passage, Nehemiah 4:9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God, and because of them, speaking of the enemy, we set a watch against them day and night. Nehemiah said we didn't focus on the enemy. We focused on God. We made our prayer to God. We focused on our mission, rebuilding Jerusalem. We focused on finishing the work God called us to do. Yet we did not do this blissfully ignorant of the fact that there was an enemy around us. So a secondary thing Nehemiah said that we did was to post a guard against the enemy day and night. And finally, we work to a passage that I want to settle on. It's in Genesis 15. God tells Abraham, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it. And Abraham asked, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? God tells him specifically the sacrifice that he desires, an intricate sacrifice. Abraham prepares the sacrifice to the Lord just as God told him to do. Something as typical as nature happens. Vultures appear. But Abraham, the Bible says, drove them away. Abraham is called the father of faith or the father of the faithful. At the age of 75, he leaves home in search of a city with foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In Genesis 11, he leaves home. Genesis 12, he arrives in Canaan's land. In the next chapter, he separates from his nephew Lot. In Genesis 14, he fights a battle to help Lot. In the next chapter, we find the dream chapter of Abraham's life. I love that expression, dream chapter. I believe that our lives are epistles known and read of all men. We're stories. That every one of us has a dream chapter. But in Genesis 15, in this dream chapter of Abraham's life, it opens with the words, after these things. Everything to this point was preparatory for what was to happen in Abraham's life. God begins making promises to Abraham. As numerous as the stars in the night sky, so will your descendants be, Abraham. God promised to be his shield and his exceeding great reward. But Abraham asked what we would have asked. How can I know these things will be? And God leads Abraham into a ceremony that probably means little to us today, but in his day it was the emblem of a covenant. That promise, that oath that carried great weight. the Abrahamic covenant, promising his descendants the possession of the land and victory over all its inhabitants. Specific animals were used as a sacrifice. The animals were split and formed a pathway of sorts. To us, again, it sounds odd to our ear, but Abraham knew this was the language of another realm, that a heavenly covenant was to be made. It all began with sacrifice, that is the language of heaven. It began with God sacrificing animals to form clothing for Adam and Eve. Then Cain and Abel both sacrificed. Noah sacrificed after exiting the ark. In the ancient world, people desiring to enter into a commitment with one another sealed it not with a contract so much, but with a covenant. The Hebrew word for covenant means to cut. Animals were cut in two, and the parties of the covenant would pass between the split animals to indicate their commitment. God had a gracious, redemptive covenant to make with Abraham. It was sealed with blood. We recognize that Jesus Christ is the ultimate sacrifice, that all of the sacrifices of the Old Testament were just dim shadows of what Jesus was to do. He was to be the Lamb of God, and that when sacrificed, he would take away the sin of the world. While we don't make such sacrifices today, we make greater ones. What are our sacrifices? There are seven spiritual sacrifices we offer to the Lord. The sacrifice of faith, Philippians 2. The sacrifice of righteousness, Psalm 51. The sacrifice of a broken spirit, the same psalm. The sacrifice of thanksgiving, Psalm 107. The sacrifice of praise, Hebrews 13. The sacrifice of doing good, also in the same chapter. The sacrifice of meeting the needs of others, Philippians 4. We place ourselves before God as living sacrifices. We yield our members to Him. It's in the words of that old song, "You cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid." All. Abraham obeyed God's commandments and sacrificed precious things to Him. Wrapped up in those sacrifices were his expectations, promise of an heir, a promise of a land to inherit and occupy, and the promise of redemption, that all families of the earth would be blessed through Abraham. When Abraham finished cutting the animals and aligning them, some time must have passed. God didn't show up immediately. The vultures did, though. The vultures. The enemy always fights the promise. Look at every significant promise in Scripture and see that the enemy opposed it. That's why he's called Satan, or the adversary. Down through time, people of faith have had their promises challenged by this adversary. Adam and Eve were opposed in the garden by Satan. Think of Job, a godly man. Satan opposed him. When Jesus was to be born, Satan opposed him and motivated Herod to kill all the children in Bethlehem. When Jesus formally entered into his brief ministry on earth, Satan opposed him. Satan opposed the early church. For any open door, there is an adversary. And just before the covenant was to be established, vultures came that night. I can't tell you how many times I've watched people on the cusp of a breakthrough encounter some opposition. The enemy shows up, and just a little opposition could derail the promise. Think about it. Israel was at Kadesh Barnea, the gateway to the promised land, when Satan opposed them. He detoured them. He delayed them. He distracted them. That's his 3D strategy. Anything but the promise. General George McClellan was widely known as the general who wouldn't fight during the Civil War. Eventually, President Lincoln sacked him in favor of General Grant. But for 12 hours in 1862, McClellan did fight. And he fought General Lee to a standstill at Antietam, such that he turned the Confederate Army away. How did he do this? Two soldiers in the Union Army had found a copy of Lee's battle plans and delivered them to General McClellan. We know the enemy's battle plan. We're not ignorant of his devices. The enemy fights your identity, who you are. The enemy fights your destiny. A while back, I picked up a book by Ron Carpenter entitled The Necessity of an Enemy. And the book highlights the role Goliath played in the life of David. Only when Israel was opposed by this giant was David transformed from a delivery boy into a national hero. Carpenter goes on to say, the depth of your battle gives you insight into the greatest of the potential God put in you. And enemies are your key to unlocking that potential. But my favorite line of the book is this: all battles are fought over your future, not over your past or present circumstances. The enemy is opposing not who you are, but who you will become. He opposes not what you did, but what you're about to do. The battle you face today is over your future. Abraham, the battle that night with the vultures is over your future children, your future possession. I would say, child of God, the enemy does not oppose you for what you have done in the past. He's fighting you over what you will be in the future. The battle is about tomorrow, not today. It's about what will be, not what is. And if you give up now, you'll never see what God could do in your life. So what do we do? Let Abraham show you the way, the father of faith. Abraham had obeyed God, sacrificed the animals in preparation for God to show up, but the vultures came first. Scripture says that when the vultures came down, not if, when they came down, he drove them away. We too must drive away the devourer. James said, submit to God, resist the devil, oppose the opposer. Don't lay down. Don't back up. Face your difficulties. Face your enemy. Jesus looked at Simon Peter and said, Satan wants to grind you to powder, but I've prayed for you that your faith fails not. The only way the enemy wins is when you and I give up. Don't give up. Abraham had done his part, and now he stood guard over his future. When the vultures came, he didn't sit down and say, well, what's the difference? Where is God at? God made a promise to Abraham, just as God has made promises to you. What are the promises God has made to you? As for me, I'm believing that God is going to pour out a great awakening in this nation. Has God promised you your children? Has he promised you your family, your neighbors, those troubled teens around the corner? Your fellow students, your fellow employees, what has God promised you? Are you going to let the enemy pick it to pieces? Are you going to stand up and you're going to fight the enemies of tomorrow that are trying to steal your hopes and rob you of your promises? Cry out to God. Shed a fresh tear over one of your promises. Pick up the name of Jesus and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and say, I still believe. I'm still holding on to what God has for me. It's that unusual scripture, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, but the violent take it by force. Don't let the enemy get your promises. Drive them away.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.